Good morning. Not knowing how near the truth is, we seek it far away. What a pity. We are like a man who, in the midst of water, cries and thirsts so imploringly. We are like the son of a rich man who wandered away among the poor. Today, we are going to examine a koan. This koan is very much alive. This is not some ancient oriental puzzle. Koans are, by definition, public cases, and this particular koan today, very much a public case. So, I'm going to read the koan and then read a brief commentary. Following that, we may have whatever discussion is warranted, and we'll have a brief sitting period, close with chanting, and then head for the coffee shop. Today's koan. Today is January 27th, 2002. The text of the koan. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long trail of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And the commentary. The American Declaration of Independence, however, clearly understood that difference of interest between government and citizen. It says that the purpose of government is to secure certain rights for its citizens: life, liberty, equality, and the pursuit of happiness. But governments may not fulfill these purposes. So, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. The end of Machiavelli's The Prince is clearly different. It is not the welfare of the citizenry, but national power, conquest, and control. All is done in order to maintain the state. In the United States today, the Declaration of Independence hangs on schoolroom walls. But foreign policy follows Machiavelli. Our language is more deceptive than his. The purpose of foreign policy, our leaders say, is to serve the national interest, fulfill our world's responsibility. In 1986, General William Westmoreland said that during World War II, the United States inherited the mantle of leadership of the free world and became the international champions of liberty. This from the man who, as chief of military operations in the Vietnam War, conducted a brutal campaign that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese non-combatants. And this commentary is from Howard Zinn. And for those who are interested, he has written a book entitled Declarations of Independence, Cross-Examining American Ideology. Not what we would expect as a Zen koan, but very much in principle and practice, a real live koan, particularly now. This piece I received 2 days ago in an email, and I was really touched on reading this because it very much hit home in terms of a lot of what I've been hearing and speaking with people about lately in terms of our national societal situation. There is a lot to ponder here. Any commentary.
Part of the problem is the definition of life, liberty, and I guess more importantly, the pursuit of happiness. So depending upon your interpretation of what that means to the citizenry of the United States, global action can be interpreted as providing that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So oftentimes, the rationale for global action is the preservation or the stabilization or the continuation of the existing life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness rights that exist in the United States. I'm not commenting whether it's right or wrong, I'm commenting that that is often a rationale.
I understand. There are definitely inconsistencies that we need to be aware of. And this is not only in the political arena, but very much in the so-called spiritual realms. Much of this has to do with words and how they're used and how we communicate. What to a Buddhist priest may seem quite clear in terms of the unalienable right to life, to a proponent of the death penalty as punishment for a horrendously brutal crime, may easily be rationalized as a loss of such a right. So these words, these rights that are enshrined and established in our sacred national documents are very, very much open to interpretation. Over the past week and a half, the White House released a proclamation declaring a National Sanctity of Life Day. And I received a copy of this, and I was absolutely appalled, because here is a man who, with the stroke of a pen, had terminated the lives of 152 human beings as governor of Texas, and even mocked them in their torture prior to their execution, declaring the sanctity of human life and you know, right. We all have very, very, very questionable, and giving us real pause to think and consider these points of view. You know, life itself doesn't get more fundamental than that. The right to life, the right to live without being killed. That's pretty basic. And that's the most important right of any government or treaty or granting of human rights, the right to life above all, liberty, freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, all of these. The pursuit of happiness, it doesn't guarantee that doesn't guarantee us happiness. It guarantees that we can pursue it. Very clever, those founding fathers. So we're allowed, guaranteed, that we're going to get it ever, but we're allowed to try to pursue it. But life and liberty are guaranteed, and we really need, I think, to consider these issues as matters of spiritual practice, because they are the foundation of our being here today, together, alone. I remember a friend of mine who I'd known for many, many years. He went through what is called Inka Shomyo ceremony, which is a formalization of the acknowledgement of complete Dharma transmission from teacher to student. And it's the point at which the monk becomes recognized as a Dharma heir and begins to use the title Roshi, which means elder teacher. In most cases, this is where that title comes from, although there are some cases where it is conferred in a different manner. But I was asked to take part in the ceremony, and I came and was present for this Inka ceremony. And traditionally, the person who's being given the Inka shows up in the training hall in the Zendo dressed as a wandering monk in robes with the straw, and comes in as a poor wandering monk. And he makes his way, or she makes his way, up to the altar where the abbot, where the Roshi is situated. But on the way, they encounter monks of the tradition, and each one of them stands in front and gives and puts forth a koan that the the person receiving income must pass. So my friend lined up, you know, all these people and you know, pretty much knocked them down one after the other. And finally, he got to one person, and this person was a nun, and she said something like, we have enshrined on our altar here at the Zendo a statue of Manjushri and etc. What do you have enshrined on your altar? And he responded, something and a bottle of fine Chianti, right, which immediately blew her away. And he went on. And later on that day, after the whole thing was over and there was a little party and stuff, he came up to me and he says, thank fucking God you weren't out there. And I said, yeah. I said, you wouldn't have been able to get by. And he said, yeah, I know. And the reason that that particular answer about what was enshrined on his altar struck me was, in a way, I thought his answer was a bit wise-ass, but it very definitely hit home, and it was his style. I mean, he was the kind that would have a bottle of fine wine, you know, certainly in his home, if not on his altar. But I thought of the altar at Sing Sing, where I taught for 8 years, and on our altar, we had, in addition to incense burner and candle and water offering bowl, we also had a copy of the Constitution. Because that document is the contract that gives us the ability to work and meet together and the right to practice in congregate our religious tradition. Many people come and they ask, well, is Zen a religion? And, you know, there's all kinds of arguments out there of, oh, well, it's not really a not really a religion, it's a way of life. And no, it's a practice of liberation psychology, or any other description that we want to put on it. Well, that's all well and good, and those are all smart, wise-ass answers, but fundamentally, when it comes down to a matter of, do we have the right to be here and do what we're doing, goddamn right it's a religion. Because that document is our contract, and that contract gives us the right to be here to do this. And we should never forget that. These are contracts, these documents. The Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, these are contracts that we have with our government, each and every one of us. And we are entitled to exercise the rights set forth. But we also have the responsibility to understand those rights. We have the responsibility to read these contracts and to know what they mean. And to bear that in mind and to carry that knowledge with us. Without that, without exercising our rights become like muscles, and without exercise, ultimately muscles atrophy and go away. And there are certain amendments in the Constitution that have, in essence, gone away because they have not been exercised. And we really, really need to bear in mind and take responsibility, not just as Zen practitioners and people engaged in a spiritual path, but fully as human beings and as citizens and as part of our social structure, we have to take responsibility for it. Awakening is not just a matter of sitting on a cushion and coming to some kind of kensho crescendo type experience. It also involves being fully aware of our surroundings, being fully aware of our environment, and that environment also includes our government and our social structures. So it's a full-time, in-depth practice of responsibility. It's not just about practicing so-called Zen in a Zendo, or sitting together silently in some kind of attempt at tranquility. It's a very active and engaged practice. And it's far broader than what happens here. This is a foundation. This is a foundation. As are our government and our community and our social structures. These are all foundations, right? And we need to be fully aware, conscious, respectful, and interested and involved in the foundations. This is the broader sense of awakening. This is awakening in the big picture, not just internal personal awakening. It's also awakening to true reality and the real structure that we operate in. Granted, it may be considered as illusionary. And granted, this may all be an illusion. But when the illusion of the rent being due, and the gas bill, and the electric bill come, we have to go to the illusionary bank account and withdraw our illusionary funds in order to pay the illusionary bills in order to live in the illusionary world. It may all be illusion, but God help you if you miss a payment. So we have to be awake not only in the absolute, and we also have to be so, let us briefly chant the great vows for all and end our congregate practice this lovely Sunday morning in dynamic peace. Dynamic peace. Shujom hen se gando bono mu jin se gandan oman murio se gan gaku butsuro mu jo se Shujo mu en se gando bono mu jin se gandan oman mu ryo se gan gak
kubetsudo mucho seganjo shucho muhen segando bono mujin segandan omon muryo segan kakubetsudo mujo seganjo. However innumerable all beings are, I vow to emancipate them all. However inexhaustible delusions are, I vow to extinguish them all. However immeasurable Dharma teachings are, I vow to master them all. However endless the Buddha's way is, I vow to follow it.